Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
You're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, 657 AM. This is where you at. I'm Swinging and Mufuking with you up until 3 o'clock right here on the airwaves of 657 AM on Heart to Heart. Hello, family. How has your weekend been like? We are going to take a moment and pray for our farmers who have been affected. I know most farms were affected during this cold weather with the snow. Some of our live stock has died as a result. And I saw some people saying, sure, now we are waiting to hear about, and they said what? Some diseases, that outbreaks that might come as a result of this, where our livestock is concerned. And so we are going to pray for our crop. We're going to pray for our vegetation and pray for our farmers. But later on in the show with Pastor Tletwa Zavani, and we are going to have my queen who's coming through for the first time. Praise the Lord for that. And we are going to have Usis Dora Zulu. She'll tell us if she's related to the King Zulu Tini. But she will say. And she's going to come share her testimony. But right now, I'm not alone. I'm with Pastor Lakili Bebe. Murut, you're still wearing a scarf. Are you still cold?
I'm still traumatized by the snowfalls and the...
In September, Nuchal.
In September, can you imagine?
You know, if it was in June, July, it's normal.
I actually saw a very disturbing video of people who were stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
Like ice stuck. So their cars could not move.
Yeah.
And for a moment, I started thinking, could it be that we were not warned about this or we didn't see this coming?
Yeah.
Having snowfalls of that magnitude in South Africa, it's bizarre. It's something else. Yeah.
I think the weathermen did try to warn us. I remember because on Tuesday already they were talking about snow. And I remember how I didn't trust their report. I said to my mom, where's the snow? I mean, it was very hot on Tuesday.
Yeah, but even then, we are South Africa, you know.
You would just think,
well, maybe it will it happen somewhere.
It will drizzle nyana.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, or drizzle nyana, not a serious one.
Not in the sense that we saw cars and even trucks stuck.
It was the kind of snow that you see in the USA, during Christmas time.
Yeah,
and
it's amazing.
Yeah, I think I hope it comes back during Christmas so we have an icy white Christmas.
Well, if it happened in September, it's not far-fetched.
Nothing is
we
impossible.
We can have it in December.
But thank God everybody's life has been saved except for two. And I know that there are those ones who were taken to the hospital. But we thank God. And now they are trying to help the trucks because there are trucks that are still stuck. And that's what they've been sharing about throughout the morning today. But God is good. And so we are here today. We are back. We are on Money Traps.
Yeah.
And last time I do remember, Muruti, you touched on a number of these. But today we are focusing on gambling. But I know that you will build it from gambling. It's not going to be just gambling. I know that you're going to go beyond gambling. Muruti, what were they again? I know when you are owing the ITC when you are in the ITC.
Yeah.
And which ones again?
Yeah, for those people that are just joining the show today, we want to say you missed out a lot. We've been talking about Money Traps, which is one of the chapters in my book. My book entitled Life After Death has got about 22 chapters. And in chapter 19 of my book is the chapter called Money Traps. And then myself and Zbongile have been talking about different money traps. Last week we touched on borrowing as a form of money trap. In the week past, I think we also dwelled on credit card and ITC listing or being in the credit bureau as one of them. And we said today, let's look at gambling as one of the money traps that you also find in my book, Life After Death.
And Muruti, how much is your book before we go for
my
it? Somebody's
book
listening?
Is 350 free of charge.
How do we get?
And you send us a WhatsApp or an SMS.
Be careful with the word free of charge.
No, I just said 350 free of charge. You know what I'm trying to put out there? I mean, if it's 350, 350 runs free of charge.
Yeah.
By the time you went through this book, you realize I actually didn't pay as enough. Enough.
Right? Yeah.
So please send us a WhatsApp number or an SMS to 071-352-4581. I'll repeat 071-352-4581, and then we will reply with how you would get it, but it will come straight to where you are.
So it's 071-372-4581. So you can call and get the book. It's only 315 yana. So we're going to gambling.
Yeah.
Muruti, how is gambling a money trap? I mean, people who would be going to the casinos are like, yeah, I know, at least I come back with 20 reds. I come back with 50 reds. And I've seen one person, actually two, and they were brother and sister. Every time they got paid.
Oh, they can't wait for the casino.
They were using taxis. They didn't drive. They had their own cars, but they would put their cars at home. So they would take a taxi to the casino near where we stayed. It was happening. Actually, the sister was doing it every Sunday.
Gambling every Sunday.
Yeah, going to the casino every Sunday after church. And the brother, every time he's paid.
But did you guys not pray enough, Zbongile, for someone to be going to gambling every Sunday?
I was
after
a child.
I think I was
15, okay. 16, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, the fact that you said they go to every Sunday after, I'm like, oh, my word.
I think for them, it appeared as something that would free them from whatever debts
financially.
Yeah. Because everybody thinks about, right now, I'm not going to mention them by name, but
it's okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to, but we have that one where you either pay, is it 5 rands now or is it still 250, where you buy a ticket you cross the numbers and then it appears on TV. Yeah. You know, people go use that. There are people who are doing that faithfully every week. They are looking at the plus. You know, there's that and the plus.
You know, now that you mentioned that one, I would say how many people have been betting on that one, which you don't want us to mention, can possibly call us or send us an SMS and tell us how long have you been betting that, for how many years, and how much did you win in the past 10 years of betting that particular thing that Zbongile is talking about?
Yeah, and I know family knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. So they would do that. And I think that people believe this is for their financial
miracles,
freedom and miracles. And one thing I've learned about people who would go into that space
of
and even getting the money and winning the money, most of them go to I blew it. They turn to
the
become.
I blew it route,
yes.
Interesting enough that you said that, because in my book, when talking about gambling, I said that there are no financial records or financial books anywhere in the world that proves that people have become financially free or millionaires from gambling. So gambling in itself has no track record of wealth creation. There are no books or records or research that suggest that you can actually become financially free by gambling. Instead, the reports you find of people that are in gambling would be more on the kind of losses they have incurred, the psychosocial impacts of gambling that a lot of people have, you know, found themselves in. You started by asking, how is gambling a money trap? It is a money trap because it exposes you to other spending disorders. You know, I don't know if I can share this, Bongile. Yeah. I shared a video with you this weekend, right? And I'm like, Bongile, you better check this video out, of the lady that blew $5 million to gambling. And, you know, I don't know. Did you have the time to look at that video?
I couldn't, because my weekend was freezing cold.
Okay, but let me just share.
But what we had there, I saw the title.
Yeah, but this lady, I mean, some of the things that she ended up doing is, one, she ended up selling her mom's house
Hey, son.
To go and gamble. And two, she ended up in fraudulent activities where at times she would borrow money against her car. So she would give you a car. And in fact, she gave one gentleman, according to that video, she gave one gentleman a car in exchange to 200,000 that she borrowed. And then she blew that 200,000 at the casino, you know, over gambling. And because now she lost both the 200,000 plus the car, she couldn't get the car because she was hoping, if I can borrow against my car 200,000, I'll make millions, and then I'll come and redeem my car, and then I'll live happily ever after. But unfortunately, she lost both the car. And when that happened, she said she went behind that gentleman that she borrowed the car to and stole her own car back, you know, using a spare key, stole her. And look at how gambling has now become a root cause of many social problems in her life. One, all of a sudden she finds herself stealing.
Yeah.
In fraud, where she sells her mom's house.
Uh-huh.
She even spoke about a time where she would steal her husband's bank cards on month end or payday and rush to the casino. And when the salary makes way into her husband's account, she'll start spending it on gambling. Look at a range of psychosocial spending disorders that she found herself in as a result of gambling.
It all started with gambling.
And let's unpack it a little bit, Bongile, and give some practical example. Let's say you owe people, you owe institutions, you owe schools, banks, everybody. And your mind tells you, the only way I can get out of this is if I can be lucky enough with those casino machines and make a lot of money, right?
That's so what you think.
What I'm going to do, I mean, let's get into the mind of a gambler for understanding.
Yes.
So you go like, if I can take my salary, which has not been able to help me in the past, I don't know how many months or years, because I've not been able to survive with this salary because I've got so many debts. So my mind is now telling me gambling is the way out. So what I'm going to do, instead of paying rent and pay my car or paying school fees or buying groceries or putting petrol in my car, I'm going to take the whole of that salary and go try my luck in hope that I can get out with a million or half a million and go bail myself out of my problem. Let's say this is your mental disposition. That's what you're thinking. And boom, you go there with your 20,000 salary. Boom, it's all gone. And by the time it's gone, you have not paid your school fees. You have not paid your car. You don't have petrol in your car. You haven't paid your debtors. You have paid nothing. You haven't even paid your bond or rent. What then? What do you think a person like that would do next, when you know very well that, you know, my debtors are going to come after me. People that I owe are going to come after me. My kids are possibly going to be put out of school or something. What next are you going to do? The situation of gambling itself then introduces you to, you know, a range of spending disorders again, where, for example, now I've blew all my salary and I have got all of these things that are coming. What next am I going to do? The lady shared a very interesting story on how she borrowed money from the loan sharks. And she said she went to about 10 of them at a time. So maybe taking 5,000 from each one of them. Because you just lost money at the casino, but life still needs to go on. You still have to pay other debts. So she goes and then she takes money from all of these people. But she's thinking, oh my God, I took 5,000 from 10 loan sharks. They want their money the next month, all of them. How am I going to pay 10 people? And you know the percentage on their interest. It's high. So you took 5,000 from 10 loan sharks and they want their money next month. And by the way, you have deficits of things you did not pay for before because you lost the money at the casino. Now you've got, do you see how you're sinking deep? Then you start thinking, what can I do? And she got to a point where the only solution she thought was, it's let me steal my husband's cart. Let me use the salary. And I listened to that video when they were asking her, what was going on in your mind? What were you thinking, stealing your... She said, no, I thought, well, he might be angry that I stole his cart, but he will be happier that I made a million. So that's the thing with pathological gambling or gambling disorder.
Sure.
So it may all start well as gambling.
Mm.
I listened to a guy that said, I'm giving people good gambling advice. And I was so curious, like,
oh, is there any good?
Good gambling advice. He says, this is what you must do. Just have 500 in your pocket all on the way to casino and let that 500 be your limit. If you lose it, oh, it's your loss. If you make some money with that 500, take that money and don't bet again. Leave that place. But a lot of people started like that. I mean, people started like, let me see what I can do or get with 500. And Zbongile, think about this. You have 500, you go to a casino, you bet with that 500 over maybe American roulette. These are one of the games you find there. And you pay, you use 500 and bam, you get 3,000. What does your brain tell you at that moment?
Try again.
Why?
Because what if you get a million now?
And also because if 500 can give me 3,000, what would 3,000 give me?
And what I've heard is that when you play for the first time, you normally get something back. Like
yes,
the first time you put
obviously
in. Yeah, you get something back a little bit.
I believe that.
A little bit. And
otherwise, people wouldn't be going back if it was loss at first place, because that would be their
so nobody puts in the money, or I don't know if there are those ones who'll put in the money and get the 3,000 and say, oh wow, praise the Lord, and move away. But most of them want to do more. If I got a 3,000, let me try another 500, and maybe if I get I'll get a million or so.
You know, gambling disorder, it's so bad that, as I said, you know, we are trying to just unpack some of associated behavioral, you know, disorders that comes with gambling. So we just gave an example of how a person can blow their salary, and because of that, they feel compelled to go borrow from the loan sharks, and then to pay off the loan sharks, they feel the need to defraud someone, a husband, like the lady did, and she lost her marriage because of that. And as though that was not enough, her mom houses her, and then she sells her mom's house. Do you see how bad this is? She's going deeper and deeper. And what do you do when you feel depressed by the fact that you just blew out your money? You go into another, you know, spending disorder, maybe retail therapy. Retail therapy is when you want to cheer up, you know, to cheer yourself up by buying something. So some people, if they lost money at the casino, what's the second thing they'll do? Drink alcohol.
Eish.
Drink themselves to sleep. Others would even do worse things like going into drugs.
Eish.
I do not think there is such, of all the about 10 money traps that I mentioned in the book, I'm starting to appreciate that gambling is actually the worst one. It's bad.
Isn't it an addiction of some sort as well?
It is, and that's exactly why we said when we started that the reason why gambling, because some people can say, well, I'm just gambling, maybe I'm just doing sport betting, or I'm doing horse racing or dice game.
Hey, my dice.
Yes, and they say, well, I'm not as bad as a person.
It is as bad.
But somebody thinks, no, but this is just dice game.
Because
at least I'm not the girl you're talking about. I didn't lose 5 million. Well, I lost 5,000.
Because Muruti, the very same way a person would lose their house, lose their salary in a casino, it happens. People sell their wives and children and cars.
How do you sell a wife again?
Oh, they sell them. I bet with my wife. So you can have my wife.
So you are saying one of these days you might get a knock at your door.
Yeah.
Your husband just sold you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. That's how sad it is as an addiction.
Very, very sad. And I mean, that's what I said. It might start as something that people justify as, you know, just mere gambling. And before you know it, then all of these other spending disorders and addiction behaviors then come into play, and you just find yourself not only addicted to gambling but addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs, and also
it becomes a web.
And you know, I actually studied a research that was made, they call it behavioral economics. Basically what they study is in behavioral economics, they want to see how people's behavior influence their spending and that. And you will find concepts such as CBD, the compulsive buying or compulsive spending disorder. This is when the moment you have money, I spoke about it in my book under the chapter Wealth Killers. I think it's chapter 7, Wealth Killers in my book, CBD, compulsive spending or compulsive buying disorder. Have you ever met people who, when they have money, they can't wait to spend?
Yeah. Compulsive buyers.
Like you can't sit.
And I think Runaba Lutolo Efa. May the Lord help us as women.
You can't sit. You just want to buy, and the only time you stop buying, it's when you've run out of money. There seems to be a sort of, we call it also an impulse control disorder. That means you are struggling to control buying impulses in your brain. When that thought says buy, 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 you actually fail to control it. So the psychologists call it a impulse control disorder, and they associate gambling addiction with that as well, because gambling addiction ultimately becomes a person's inability to control a spending habit or a spending impulse. So you feel like, I need to spend 3,000, I need to spend another 3,000. How did it end up? I heard this lady saying that she blew her all her money, including her husband and her mom's money, to a point where she didn't even have 20 rands to buy bread, and she had an empty tank leaving that casino. You ask yourself, oh, how does it actually get there? How do we get to a point where why couldn't you stop yourself when you see that you were sinking so deep? How did it get to a point of you selling your mom's house when you know that it's going to break your heart? What is this thing in you that keeps driving? So it's an impulse control disorder. But here is the shocking thing that the psychologists in behavioral economics have found out. They found out that once a person in their spending habits develop either a compulsive spending disorder or an impulse control disorder, they have problems with controlling other behaviors away and apart from money. They found out that such people can also struggle with unprotected sex as well, because they tend to think about the consequence of something after it has happened. They don't think of something before it happens and take precautions when it happens. They only think about it afterwards. And you find that with gambling addictions, that these people have a lot of control issues or control disorder issues, where, you know, they just seems to struggle to control other things in their lives, including sex, including money, including intake of substances, drugs, alcohol, and all of that. And that's why I've said that the more I look at gambling, I think this is, as let me put it clearly, gambling addiction. It's bad.
Sure. It's very bad. So a person who finds themselves in this needs rehabilitation, to be honest.
Obviously, they need clinical treatment. It's sickness. It is definitely sickness.
It is as though, like a person who's on nyaupe. One of my relatives was.
Yes.
And I remember when he went to rehabilitation center, they said, don't show him money, don't give him money. Because when he sees money,
he
it
gets
triggers.
Triggered, right?
Uh-huh.
Yes, it's true. And there are triggers. There are people, by the way, who have went to get clinical treatment, maybe with a psychiatrist or a psychologist, because they were suffering from pathological gambling. And they will make certain vows and say, you know what, I'm not going to gamble again. I've seen how it has ruined my marriage. I've seen how it has ruined my life, my health, and all of that, how it has exposed me to destructive habits. And they will promise themselves, even on paper, that they wouldn't do it. But once money enters the account and they get that bank notification, man, it's like just a drug. It's like a trigger, an uncontrollable impulse to go out and do it again. It's very bad. And if anyone listening is at that point, just like the lady shared, a person like that needs, you know, clinical assessments. They need professional help. And to the words of the same lady that shared in the video, they sometimes need spiritual intervention to assist with that.
It is an attack on their spiritual lives as well. Mm. Pastor Lufuno Negota, good day, Bafunzi, Ndimasiaria Bude, and he's listening, saying,
I'm so impressed, I need to stop
profound.
You there.
Yeah?
You can read Venda. Okay, how did it happen? Sibongile Mufukeng reads Venda.
I'm proudly South African.
I'm so impressed.
I'm proudly South African. We are going to take a break, and then we're coming back. You can talk to us. The lines are open at 012.
Please read that again when we come back, because I interrupted.
No. I wasn't reading. I was greeting him.
Oh, is
he just said profound.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's listening. So I was just greeting him in Venda. So, yeah, I'm proudly South African. All right, family, 012-334-1322. You can talk to us. The lines are opened. 012-334-1322. And the SMS line 37871. Do remember, you will be charged 150. And the WhatsApp line 082-657-2729. 082-657-2729. On Skontrach.
Radio Pulpit understands that praying alone isn't always easy. So join us to form a chain of prayer for you and with you. To do so, send in your prayer requests on 067-429-7564. That is 067-429-7564. Or alternatively, email us on prayer@radiopulpit.co.za. That is prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Come live the life at 657 AM.
Kuthazeka njalo ngolesibili ukuya kulesihlanu ngo 8 ntambama ohlelweni lethu olubizwa ngohlala nathi. Lalela abafundisi abaningi bashumayela izwi lenkosi elikunika ithemba enhlizweni yakho. Lalela ukhule enkosini ku Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
Vision, one voice, one message. Radio Pulpit 657 AM and 729 Cape Pulpit, impacting lives from Gauteng to the Cape.
On radio, right?
And yes, my family, we gave you Naledi Shwe Shwe and the song Exalted by Your Name. And yes, we are on Heart to Heart with Miss Sibongile Mofokeng with you up until 3 o'clock. Right here on the airwaves of 657 AM. The lines are open for family to can talk to us. I'm with Pastor Lebebe in the studio. And we're talking gambling, my family. And we're talking all money traps. So you got a question? You got a comment? The lines are opened on 012-334-1322. It's 012-334-1322. Alternatively, you can send us an SMS on 37871, 37871. And you can also send us a WhatsApp on 082-657-2729. It's 082-657-2729. Muruti, so you were about to tell us what to do when you are in gambling, how to come out, right?
Mm. Yeah, well, it's a very big question, I would say, you know, and possibly some people might be watching or listening and thinking, I hear and I'm even a mess and I've done worse than the case example that you guys are presenting in the studio. But what exactly do I do if I know a family member or I am one myself who is in that situation? I'll start by saying, Sibongile, falling into any trap is easier than coming out. Think about a hole. If you're walking on the surface, falling into that hole is just boom, in 1 second
you are in there.
And getting out of that, it's gonna require two things: intentionality and intensity. It's just like drugs, you know. Once a person is addicted to drugs, you know, the going into drugs might have been fun, full of, you know, nice sentiments and impulses and all of that. But when you have to clean yourself up, it's going to be tough.
Is it possible to come out on your own?
I wouldn't say it's not possible. Just
right.
Like, you know, okay, the example I'm giving about falling into a pit or a hole, it's good. You can fall into a hole all by yourself. True or false? True, right? Can you get there out by your own?
It depends how deep is it.
No. You are going to
But the kind of hole you're talking about now,
you're going to need someone who's outside of that hole.
Yes.
To give you a lending hand and pull you out.
Yeah.
So that's exactly how I see addiction behaviors. You are going to need a third-party intervention. Mm-hmm. There will have to be people who have the knowledge, the profession, and the experience and expertise to assist you to get out of it. And you just need to put it at the back of your mind that it's not going to be easy. It's going to be intense, and I will have to also be intentional.
Mm.
You will have to be willing. You know, there is nothing discouraging.
Because you can throw in the rope, but if I'm not willing to
get out of there. And while talking like this, there could very well be people who don't see that. You know, there are people who just have not yet reached the end of the journey where they give up on gambling.
Mm.
There are people who still have this deception that they can, you know, they can still make it. Why? Because unfortunately, Sbongile, we live in the era of information explosion. I was thinking about it yesterday, going through some social media and just accessing, you know, different sorts of information. So for an example, someone can Google and try to find out if there are people that have made money from gambling. And people who are trying to sell the gambling business can stage that. Do you know what I'm saying? They can stage that and say, look at the car that I bought. Look at the house that I bought. And in doing so, they will propagate a certain mindset in society that, no, you can actually make money from gambling. But depending on what site you end up in, because in the era of information that we are living in, you get more of everything. If you go on the site that says, I want to search for people that have lost their lives due to gambling, oh God, you're going to find a lot of that. You're going to find people that got divorced, people that committed suicide, people that were gunned down and killed because of, you know, gambling, all of that. So it depends on where you're looking at. What is your psychology about this gambling issue? If you are one of that person and say, well, one day I made 100,000 and yes, I lost it back to the casino, but I think I can make 1 million. You're not willing to get out. You have not yet reached the end of the road. And maybe the consequences of life have not yet woken you up to that consciousness that, you know what, I'm dying here and I need help. Until and unless someone comes to the end of the road where they say,
yeah,
I need help. And it comes from them,
yeah,
not their partner, not their spouse, not their children.
And not coerced into it.
Not coerced into it. If they come to that. But again, I need to say, Sbongile, there are people who are at such a destructive habit of addiction that it must be forced on them. Even if you go to rehab centers, you know, they will tell you that. They will tell you that, no, there's a point where a person needs to be forced into that because other people are self-deceived. For as long as they don't think their own lives are getting affected, as long as they are affecting their life. Imagine having a child who steals your stuff as a parent. And they go and pawn them or sell them to go and gamble. It doesn't affect them because the stuff they steal doesn't belong to them.
Ish.
So under such circumstances, it goes on to people who are on drugs as well.
And
if a person is not at a place where it's affecting them, then what we need to do is send them into a rehab center forcefully.
Most of the times they mention that a person has to reach bottom rock,
yes.
But I've seen others, as you say, who would reach bottom rock but still.
Yes, that's why I'm saying if you are dealing with a partner, of course, you know, we don't resolve issues the same way. For some people, if they are married to a partner with a gambling addiction, what will be their resolution? They'll walk away. They'll just get divorced and walk away. But there are some people who are so probably madly in love and they still believe that this person's behavior can reform. You will have to get them into a coerced rehab center and force them to go through that. Because one of the things about rehabs, which are good, is they also help you to accept that you have a problem. Whereas there are people who don't believe that they do, you know. So the first of all, while we are saying, yeah, the person needs to be willing and all of that, but what if they are not willing? Oh, the person needs to know that they have a problem. What if they don't know that they don't know? you know. So you need to put them in a place where someone who is professionally trained can actually help them to realize that they are affecting their own problems and the life of others negatively. And once that happens, the part where they are going to come out of that addiction problem, especially gambling, it's not going to be very easy. Let me tell you a story. One day I was on my way to church, and at the gate, I meet this gentleman. He's crying, and for me it's weird that a man of that age could be crying so badly like a child.
Yeah.
Then he meets me at the gate. He says, "No, you know, there's a person that I'm owing 48,000. Now they are threatening to come after me, and they say they know where I stay. They know who my kids are. They're going to abduct my children." And then he starts weeping and crying. And then he comes to me probably expecting that I could give some financial rescue to him out of the situation. Then what I said to him is, "No, I'm not going to give you money. I can't. But I'll give you an advice that will help you out of your problems."
Okay.
I said to him, "Do you know what your problem is?" He says, "Yeah, my problem is I owe someone $48,000. I said, "No. The problem is you are avoiding that person every time they are calling you. You don't take up their calls. Yeah. You don't make any commitments and so forth." That's what is getting the other person so mad that they want to take up all these threats against you. And he said, "Okay, what must I do now?" I said, "Give me your phone. We are calling that individual." No. "He'll track our call. He'll know where I am." I said, no. "Just trust me." I called the individual and I explained to him that this gentleman came. Apparently, he owes you this. I want you to talk to him. I then advised the other gentleman. I said, "Don't argue. Do accept that you owe him and that you need to pay him back." And Sbongile, that issue was resolved harmoniously. A lot of people, painting from that example, people in gambling problems think, "I'll never come out because I have 55 people that I'm owing." So even if I stop gambling, they keep showing up at my house and they say, "Listen, we want our money or your life or your finger." You know, you know all of that. But once you go through a debt repayment rehab, you know, one of that would be to help you realize how easily you can sort out people that you owe by having some form of a payment arrangement with them.
Yeah, make an arrangement.
Yeah, rather than keep running away from people and feel the need, you know, to steal. There's a disorder called a kleptomania in behavioral economics as well. It's an impulse to steal. You know where people say, "I can't help it."
Mm.
I start shaking when I see money because I know I must take it.
Mm.
I can't help it.
Mm.
And when you assess such people, you find out that they say their impulse developed from the fact that they are so conscious of people they owe and the need to pay those people.
Mm.
And then they justify the act of either robbing or stealing from someone else to pay those people.
Sure.
So it's not going to be easy, but it's worth it because the more you delay getting help from gambling,
the deeper you go into that.
Yes. And the last thing I want to say is this. There's no track record of wealth creation from gambling. It's a lie. Gambling has never made anyone rich. You need to be, you need to be freed from that wrong perception about generating wealth. There's no track record of wealth generation or creation
from via gambling.
It is not there. And if gambling, the gambling business, if it was losing money, because one has to lose, we need to ask ourselves, between the gambling business and the people who are gambling, putting their money in casinos, who's losing between the casino and them? If the casinos were losing, they would have declared bankruptcy a long time ago. But this is a business that's been running for centuries.
And it's generating money through the same gamblers.
I mean, think about... you said we shouldn't mention. But think about the game you were talking about where people fill up a slip and they pay. If 4 million people in South Africa bet that on a daily basis, how much do they make? They probably make... Even if... Let's say 4 million where 4 million people were betting at 40 rands. That's 40 million per day on an extreme average. So even if you hear someone won 19 million or 150 million,
it's nothing to them.
It's nothing compared to the money that they are making in the
every
tent.
So Wednesday, this is what I want to say.
Casinos are not social workers. They are not there to solve your problems. Mm. They are there to mess it up. And you need to realize that quickly, that these people are not in the business of trying to rescue me out of my debtors and the people I owe. They don't care about that. And if you want to see it, lose all your money and sell your car in that casino and spend the rest on alcohol, they'll still kick you out of that casino with nothing.
They'll even kick you out with the security.
Yes, because they don't care about your problems. And they have not set up their business to bail people out of misery. They are there to make money. And God, they are making money.
Sure.
Yeah.
Pietra Small says, so far, you're gambling with your life. You are gambling with your life. So if you are in gambling, you are gambling with your life. And when we were talking about those ones who have hit bottom rock and they still are continuing, she says, they don't. You can just pray for them. Sure. Mm. Pray for them and take them through to rehab, to get help. Some are forced. They are those ones, by God's grace, they were forced to go for rehab, for counseling, because they were going to be divorced. They were losing their marriages.
You know, I like listening to stories until the end. You told us of your friends who used to take a taxi to casino every Sunday after church.
They were not my friends. They were adults.
Are you now denying them because they don't have a good example?
No. I was 14, Muruti, and okay. They were adults.
What is the end of their story?
So I could see. And the other one, well, passed away, but they never. She was living in a backyard. You know, where go back room.
Yeah.
Not in a backyard, but go back room. Mm. That's where she was staying for all her life.
Wow.
Yeah. And the other one, the brother, I'm not quite sure what happened to him, but they never got rich from that.
Let's just thank them. They are the reason why you're not gambling yourself. Because of your bad example.
I won't.
Because you had a bad example growing up as a child from their case, right?
I think, I don't remember who sneaked us into a casino. And I think I was like 15. Mm. And I remember putting in my 5 rand coin.
Yes.
I won a 25 rand. And I was like, no, let me try it again.
Okay.
Put it in. Put in another 5 rand. It took the 5 rand away. Put another 5 rand. It took my 5 rand. And I was like, now left with 15 rands. I was like,
And that was your lesson.
That was my lesson.
Yeah.
But I discovered something about me.
Mm.
That it can be so easy for me to be addicted to anything. Yeah. Mm. So I need to be careful what I get involved in.
Yeah, and you know, Zbongi.
So I've never been in casino ever since.
From that day.
No.
Thank God for you. Eh? Thank God for your life. But some people say, I want to gamble for the last time. And if I ever make a million, I'm out. I promise God I'm out.
There'll never be an out.
Sadly not.
There'll never be the last time. Muruti, we have that book again.
Yes.
Life After Death.
Life After Death is there.
And gambling is from chapter?
Yes. Gambling, it's found in... I actually make reference to gambling in two of my chapters.
Okay.
The one is chapter 7, where I talk about wealth killers.
Mm.
Because gambling is a wealth killer.
Mm.
Then I also make reference to gambling under chapter 19 of Money Traps.
Mm.
And, you know, much of what we have already said is also found in that book. Yeah, definitely. Mm.
All right.
Get it.
And it goes for 350. If you'd like to have the book, make sure that you call. Actually, you send a WhatsApp to Muruti ASAP and get yourself a copy. 071-352-4581. 071-352-4581. I'm going to say it a little slower. 071-352-4581. Mm-hmm. Your closing statements, Muruti, for
my
today?
My closing statements are as follows. You will never come out of a hole if you keep digging the bottom. You will never come out of a hole if you keep digging the bottom. So if you are trapped somehow in one of these behaviors that we talked about, stop digging and start making your way out of that hole.
And Muruti, I know you offer counseling where money is
definitely
concerned.
Definitely, through the same line that you gave out. And by the way, our 350 includes delivery to you. So once the 350 for the book is paid, no delivery fees will be added. It comes straight to you. But yes, one-on-one counseling sessions as well, or what we call money fitness sessions are provided. You can request for those if you need via the same WhatsApp line.
All right. Thank you so much, Muruti, for this. And family, 071-352-4581. Get yourself that book for only 350. No extra costs. I don't want to say what Muruti said at the beginning.
It's better than gambling. No extra costs. No, what you see is what you get.
071-352-4581. We are crossing over to the 1 o'clock news bulletin. You want to stay because the next testimony is connecting to where we are at right now. So, yeah, do not touch the dial. Muruti's numbers again, 071-352-4581. Thank you so much, Muruti.
Thank you.
Wow.
Umthandazo welungisa unamandla ngokugqibeleleyo. Radio Pulpit, yakha umzansi Afrika nezizwe zonke ngomthandazo.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.